Hi, this is Robert Quintes with the Eno Center for Transportation, a public policy think tank based here in Washington, D.C. In an era of declining infrastructure, coupled with limited resources for transportation spending, state and local governments are turning to the ballot box, where voters are helping set priorities for transportation projects, planning, and policies. With more measures on the ballot this year, Eno decided to launch this podcast series, where we will interview experts to talk in depth about some of the key measures, their impetus and impact, and what lessons can be shared across the country. In this episode, we're talking to Dr. Marty Wax, Distinguished Professor Emeritus of Urban Planning at UCLA, about California's Proposition 6, which is a voter approval for future gas and vehicle taxes and the 2017 tax repeal initiative. A lot of the ballot measures this year are designed to increase funding for transportation and for transportation spending, but this one's a little different. So Marty, why don't you start off by talking to us about what Proposition 6 is and what it means for California?
Proposition 6 would repeal changes made in the state's motor vehicle charges and fees by a bill that passed in April of 2017 that was known as California Senate Bill, or SB1, and was assigned by the governor in May of 2017. And SB1 raised gas taxes and fees to address what was widely seen as a dramatic shortfall in transportation funding that many people called a crisis. It was controversial, and it barely passed the legislature with exactly the two-thirds majority needed under the California Constitution to institute new taxes and fees. So the proposition, Proposition 6, to repeal SB1 reached the ballot because of a petition to repeal it that was circulated around the state and signed by 585,000 registered voters. Prior to the passage of SB1, the state expected annual revenues of $23 billion for transportation, but projected a need for annual revenues to be somewhere around $57 billion to correct deficiencies in the core highway infrastructure. And another $78 billion would be needed, according to Caltrans estimates, to fix local streets and roads all across the state. And when faced with such an enormous challenge, the state finally took action and raised the gas tax for the first time in several decades. So the new taxes and fees that are now in place and would be taken away if Proposition 6 were to pass all have different starting dates between November 2017 and July 2020. It increased the excise tax on gasoline by 12 cents a gallon, diesel fuel by 20 cents a gallon, phasing that in a bit later. It also will replace a sales tax on fuel by an additional excise tax indexed to inflation starting in July of 2019. And then two more things. It adds a transportation improvement fee to the cost of annual vehicle registrations that range, depending on the value of the vehicle, from $25 a year to $175 a year. And one last thing, it adds a new $100 annual fee on electric vehicles, which pay no fuel taxes.
So this is a new proposition. This is a citizen-initiated measure, which is designed to reverse something that was passed by the legislature a few years ago.
This is, in fact, what's called a citizen initiative, because it was placed on the ballot as the result of 585,000 signatures of registered voters. But, of course, there was an interest group, namely the Republican Party, that went out and sought those signatures. It's citizen initiative formally, but it was sponsored by the Republican Party of California.
I'm going to get back to some of those larger political questions in just a second. What do we know then about what would happen if this passes? Do we know generally what the reduction in transportation revenue would be? How big of a hit would that be on state transportation coffers?
To summarize it in very general terms, and I did do some projections of my own using a spreadsheet model and also read the state's official projections, there would be about $2 billion a year less revenue for transportation starting in 2018. And between 2018 and 2040, there would be a total of about $40 billion less in transportation revenue. And that's a significant proportion of the total.
Indeed, $40 billion is enough to get anybody's attention. But is there, when we think about then where transportation revenue comes from, and you've actually written an awful lot about the gas tax itself or fuel taxes and maybe their efficacy in the long term. Should we be looking at different ways to raise transportation revenue? Is this just one way to force these states to start looking differently, or is it based on something else?
I believe that the move to repeal SB1 is a political move that has a much shorter term outlook. But the state is already considering alternatives to the motor fuel tax in the long term. The state has adopted as a policy moving to an entirely petroleum-free transportation system within 15 or 20 years. So if the gas tax is the principal source of revenue, that obviously would go to zero. And the state has already conducted a pilot test, including 5,400 vehicles of a mileage-based user fee, which they prefer to call a road user charge, where you would pay like you pay for water or electricity or gas that you use in your home by paying a monthly bill. It would be treated more as a utility. And the charge could be varied by the type of road or the time of day and so on. But for now, they're exploring the political acceptability and the technical feasibility of the architecture of such a charge, not the actual rates or the, you know, how it would differ by geography, but just whether it would be feasible. And so far, it appears to be feasible. And about 3/4 of the people who participated in the pilot test reported that they thought it was an appropriate method and they had no problem with it. The state is moving ahead with that.
So there are other options, but it looks like that at least for the road mileage charge, it's not here yet. Are there other sources? We know that, especially in California, places like Los Angeles on the local level have been turning to the ballot box to fund sales tax increases or to pass sales tax increases for transportation. Is that an option here in the future?
Yes, California has done more of that than any other state. There are 26 active county sales tax measures, and a few have expired. And the 26 that have those measures in place now include about 85% of the state's population. So it's all the urban and suburban counties, and the rural ones are less likely to have such measures. And of course, Los Angeles County has 4 half-cent sales taxes between 1980 and last year. So yes, that's very, very prominent and popular. But those tend to emphasize projects in the counties in which the money is raised and tend to emphasize public transit and maintenance and operations. And the state is more involved in longer-term capital projects and certainly in interregional projects. So the two funding sources are seen as complementary rather than a substitute.
So getting rid of the state measure. You talked about $40 billion decline in revenue. That's going to be hard to replace. So what do you say then to critics who charge that there actually is enough state revenue that's available? We don't need any new taxes. We don't need any new fees to fix these roads. And that this is actually nice relief for the citizens of California.
The legislature initiated at the urging of Governor Brown in 2014, something called a rainy day fund. And I guess 11 or 12 states have those. When there is a surplus of revenue, it's put into this other fund. And right now, the estimate is that by the middle of next year, middle of 2019, the rainy day fund would have in it $13.5 billion. And so some people say, well, why don't you just take that money instead of raising the gas tax? But a fundamental question is whether a general revenue instrument, which comes mostly from income taxes, is an appropriate way to fund transportation in competition with other uses, like for education and healthcare and the environment and for fighting our fires. We had 6,000 brush fires so far this year. And transportation has been more traditionally funded by a user fee, and this is a general tax. So while the opponents of the tax increase resulting from SB1 are using that argument, my position would be that the amount of money available is much smaller than would be produced by the new revenue sources under SB1. And my second point would be that it's SB1 relies heavily on the users of the transportation system to finance it, and that those user fees are protected from diversion to other uses, and that the rainy day fund is appropriate for fiscal prudency, but if you were going to spend it, you would have to spend it on transportation after competing for that money.
Right. So that competition is a big issue too. Right. So how does transportation stack up to a range of other policy priorities? So, but this isn't actually new for California. California famously passed Proposition 13 back in 1978 that reduced property taxes on homes and business. Do you think there's a similarity there? Or can you describe at least first what that is and the impact that that's had on the state and how you think it may or may not play out with Proposition 6 this year?
Yes. California is a notoriously blue state in the last several elections, but it was a traditionally red state. And remember that Ronald Reagan was the governor of California. And Proposition 13 represents the view of still a major constituency represented by the Jarvis Tax Institute. And what it did was it set a maximum on property tax revenue. It said the maximum amount for any property tax could not exceed 1% of the appraised valuation of the property. And that was a dramatic decrease in property taxes. And it was, of course, motivated by rapid increases in property taxes. But it passed in 1978, a long time ago. It's been in place since then. It was tested again in a case in the U.S. Supreme Court and upheld. So it's a very powerful instrument of taxation in California. It declared that property taxes were to be based on assessments of their 1976 value and restricted annual increases to 2% per year in assessed valuation. So it's very much limiting revenues from property taxes. And that's one of the motivations for relying more heavily in California on sales taxes. That's one of the reasons that we've had these many sales tax elections. Another feature of Proposition 13 that's very relevant to what we've just been talking about is that it provided that any new increase in revenue must be approved by 2/3 vote of each house of the state legislature. So that's why the SB1 that I mentioned did have to be passed by 2/3 majority in each house.
California, obviously, then, is no stranger to these kinds of propositions, even when they limit the ability of government to spend money on the local level through property taxes, on the state level, potentially, with transportation. You mentioned earlier that this may be a political stunt that's designed to increase voter turnout. Is that what's happening here, or is this truly something that is related to it's related to transportation, but is it motivated by a transportation proposition, or is this really about something else?
California is very different from most other states, and its voters also, through this direct democracy process that we engage in so often, passed a proposition a few years ago that provides for a top two selection from the results of primary elections. So rather than going into the fall election with a Democrat and a Republican on the ticket for each seat, it's quite common actually across the state that seats for Congress and for local elections and certainly for the U.S. Senate have two Democrats on ballot. So the Republicans reasoned that if they have a measure to repeal the gas tax increase, it would bring out more Republican voters. That rather than staying home because they don't want to vote on a choice between two Democrats, they would come to the polls, increase the turnout, and increase the probability, for example, that the Republican candidate for governor, who is one of the two finalists, might compete more effectively against the Democrat, who is way in the lead in polls right now. So yes, it was a political ploy in part, but they seized upon rather unpopular among Republicans in order to have that larger political effect.
So clearly, we think about these voter-initiated or sometimes legislative-initiated referenda. Clearly, these can be helpful for transportation. In this case, it seems like it actually could have serious detrimental effect for transportation. So, I mean, if this measure, whether it passes or fails, what do you think the impacts or the effects of Proposition 6 are going to be for the rest of the nation?
Well, that is a question that I find hard to answer. I'm really not sure. The local context, as I've sort of described, is very different in California, and it's very important. So, for example, the recent Nashville measure that was defeated, I think, had no influence on California, and the issues that were addressed in it were very much local. I guess that if it has any effect nationally, a repeal of a measure in California might cause sort of a shift of public opinion and a frequent citation of California as an example of what voters can do if they really opposed tax increases. But I'm really not sure that would be the case. I think local issues tend to predominate in different places.
I think you may be right, and that may be, and that's the lesson I think we've learned from Proposition 13, that even though it has implications and serious impacts on localities there in California, the lesson for the rest of the country is be careful of what can happen if you go this route. So that's all the questions that I have. Is there anything else that I didn't ask that folks should know about Proposition 6 in California this November?
Well, the polls right now show it as likely to be defeated, but it's still early and the public arguments are still ahead of us.
So defeated meaning that they would not then repeal the tax increase.
It would not repeal, yes. And the next 5 or 6 or 7 weeks are going to be very critical. So the forces for and against are really just gearing up. And the fight, I'm sure, will be much more public and high profile as the election approaches. And it's a very interesting undertaking. The most recent propositions about transportation in California have generally been to protect the gas tax revenues for transportation from what's called diversion, from being used to address the fiscal emergencies in the state or to use for other purposes than transportation. So the voters have typically been very favorable toward transportation spending in California when it's committed to transportation. So we look at the coming election debate as a very interesting continuation of an ongoing debate.
Interesting indeed. It's certainly one of those measures that has certainly starting to gain national interest. So we are going to watch this very, very closely. I know a lot of other folks are going to watch this very, very closely. I want to thank you very much, Marty, for taking the time to help educate us and to walk through some of the issues with what is really going to be one of the most fascinating measures that we're going to pay attention to this November.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be with you.
And thank you all for tuning in. ENO will continue monitoring this and the other transportation-related ballot measures that will be voted on this November and all throughout the year. You can learn more about ENO and our Transportation at the Ballot Box work at www.enotrans.org.